Neil.
And we are Stacks of Wax and Glass Wax.
That's the one.
Your new music podcast from Glasgow.
Is there a lot of new music in it?
No, just the new podcast.
Oh, is the podcast new?
Well, fairly new, would you say so?
Okay, your new podcast about music.
Yeah. We have not done an episode in a wee while.
Ages. You wanted to call it a Christmas break, but it's been about 12 weeks.
Yeah, so it's been a bit of a nightmare. Sorry. I feel like it's my fault, but it's probably both our faults.
It's probably both our faults.
Yeah.
Different priorities.
But we're only human.
So what have you been busy with?
I've just been busy with uni. I've been doing some uni work and started a new job and stuff like that. Nothing really musical, to be fair. Obviously, we had a lot of gigs before Christmas and things like that, which were loads of fun. But apart from that, it's just been kind of boring. Nothing really relevant to the podcast. What have you been up to, Neil?
Ugh, January's a weird month. You have to do your taxes as a self-employed creative. That's great fun. And then I try to get as much work start the year as I mean to go on. So we relaunched our company website, keepitcreative.co.uk, keepitcreative.net.
Check it out.
All of the above. So I kind of put my folio online so that I felt good about what I did. It's good. It's all in one place and
good for the ego as well.
Yeah, it's just kind of that positive affirmation of what you're doing and where you're up to and all the rest, and then just spamming lots of folk to try and get some work. So I've got lots and lots of bookings from that. We finished last year with Borrowed Blues by doing a big massive gig at Hogmanay on Ashton Lane.
Oh, yes, that I can't believe I forgot to mention
it. It was
that.
Like Wembley Stadium, but if Wembley Stadium was only 2 metres wide. So yeah. There was like people on their shoulders singing along.
It was so much fun.
All the way back into the distance.
Yeah.
So that was great. Other than that, January's quite a quiet time for function work and weddings and such. So we've got kind of one gig a month, which means that we focus on other things.
Yeah.
At this point. So I've kind of in a good place, collected together all the work I've been doing.
Doing a
various
lot of
bits and pieces, doing some videos for people.
Yeah. I got onto that.
We've got, so I did a music video, which is in the can and ready to come out. It's pretty cool. Employed some green screen video techniques for that.
Yeah.
It's fun. I'm sure it's meant to be funny. It is funny. Maybe it needs a re-edit if it's not meant to be funny. Did some live videos of some bands. I did a wee bit of PR work for X Factor, which was a wee bit off-piste for me. Lots of famous people that I've never heard of. So that was interesting. Wee bits and pieces here and there. Lots of bookings in the calendar. Got some recordings booked. Got some videos booked.
This part of the podcast.
How?
Because you sound so busy. And I am also very busy.
But
yours
know,
is worth
but
talking
like,
about.
Right,
mine's
no,
so
no.
shit.
The thing is, right, because I am freelance, right, one of the reasons that I do this podcast is to sit down and remind myself what I've done.
Yeah.
Right? So when I'm in the shower once a week, I kind of go over it in my head and work out what I'm going to talk about in the podcast. It's like, what have you done since the last podcast? And that's it. That's the reason this podcast exists.
Yeah.
So that I can boast about what I've done.
No, and that's nothing wrong with that. All I'm saying is your life sounds way more productive and fun and worthwhile compared to mine. But I don't want to talk about the boring things
well,
I get up to.
Be the change you want to be.
No, but I don't want to change. I quite like how busy I am, but I just don't like... I don't think anybody cares about what I get up to.
Well, if you want to do musicy things, do musicy things.
Yeah. Well, that's what we were doing the podcast for.
Yeah.
So.
What else? Me and Alex played our first gig as Alan the Bad Decisions.
Yeah.
We have relaunched or rebranded or totally changed Dirty Diamond, the Gunslinger. Depending on how you want to look at it. The function work has meant that we were really, really busy last year. And we kind of, on the back, a wee bit of history of Dirty Diamond, I suppose, first. Dirty Diamond the Gunslinger was Alex's band after his other band, which was called Sol Diablos. There was a an episode where Alex is the guest on the podcast and he explains all that with more factual accuracy than I am currently. And then Dirty Diamond's drummer left. And I was always recording Dirty Diamond. I recorded all their stuff. And then eventually, laterally, was playing the drums with them. Although I was nowhere near as good as their drummer, Rice.
Everybody told you you're not a good drummer, but I think you're
But Rice is really good.
Oh, right, okay.
And, the it was always a kind of back burner thing. Nobody was doing it as their main priority, or that's what it felt. They had some great times, played some great gigs, all the festivals. They closed Tenement Trail, which then became the sought-after Flat 01 slot at Tenement Trail. But I don't think they didn't call it that.
They didn't call it that
back then. And they did lots and lots of cool things, but it kind of ground to a halt and it didn't have that impetus to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But we have so many songs that are half recorded. I think
good. And when you've played at Antoine's gig, you now have a brass set.
Yeah, so we've got like probably 40 or 50 half-finished songs which are half recorded. The only thing that was ever released was Sex Toy. And then it's difficult being in a band because without direction and without like weekly meetings, you're kind of running a business but pretending you're not running a business. Kind of, we got into this business to escape responsibility, but you need to have this idea of planning and it depends what you're trying to do and what your objectives are and what your focus are. But
if you're doing it for fun, there's less of that.
Yeah.
If you want to go far, you have to.
Me and Alex found ourselves sitting all these songs, but doing all the function work. So we kind of wanted to stretch our original and our creative muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So what the concept is that Alan the Bad Decisions allows us to perform and write and record with all the people that we want to collaborate with.
Yeah.
So just all the folk we've known over the years were like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we did a track with that guy who's an amazing slide guitarist? Now we can do it.
Yeah.
Right? So the first gig that we did, we used it as an excuse. I was playing bass with Anton and the Colts. And as an excuse, me and Alex decided to support Anton along with Graham Quinn and Steve Grozier. And we thought we'd use that as the kind of launch gig. And we have been playing that much with brass and horns and everything. And I, last year, did a horn section for Phil Campbell's gig in December. And I enjoyed it so much that I thought, right, let's do that. Let's do acoustic guitar, Alex's big voice, and then have... Initially, it was going to be four brass, but Gordy was busy. So we've got three brass... And it's like a New Orleans funeral. So can I reimagine some of these songs? And it was so much fun. And Bella sang backing vocals.
Yeah.
She has...
she loves it.
She's sang backing vocals with those songs since birth.
There's
just about...
There's a
wee
online,
video.
So...
We couldn't get audio in the night because Blackfriars doesn't have a wonderful desk. So there's wee snippets of video. We'll probably try and pull something together in a kind of montage video. We're going to spruce up some recordings and put some horns on them and probably look at a release in the next few weeks. So kind of watch this space. We made a video on the Alan the Bad Decisions page, which takes the piss out of the Bross documentary.
It's so funny.
We had lots of fun doing it, and then I realised that lots of people hadn't seen the Bross documentary, so I don't know whether they think that we are doing something that's kind of mildly alternative comedy level funny.
But to be fair, it's still really funny if you've not seen it.
Yeah, okay, but what if somebody takes it seriously?
Well, they're clearly not the demographic you want to reach.
I don't know. Somebody quite close to me said, oh, that was quite weird, quite unusual, liked what you did with the changing T-shirts. I'm like, yeah, you've seen the Bross documentary.
Who said that to you?
I can't remember. What Bross documentary? You're like, oh, no! our only public video is a parody of something that some people don't get. So, yeah, maybe people just think that we are really, really...
weird.
weird up ourselves. I don't even know.
Who cares? Who cares?
Anyway, watch this space.
Yeah.
That's continuing. And then we try and do as much as we can before Borrowed Blues take over the calendars again, because we've got lots and lots of bookings coming up.
Yeah, we're hopefully going to have some more guests on the podcast for future episodes. But we would love for everyone to get in touch if they'd like to be on the podcast. If you're in the music industries, or you just work in the creative industries, or you just like music and would like feel that you have something to say or talk about, just
even,
give us a shout.
Even guest co-host.
Yeah, guest co-host, because me and Neil are both so busy that there is times where one of us might not be able to do it. We could have someone else do it with
one of
us.
So if anybody's got any ideas for themes, for episodes, etc, etc.
Just get in touch.
Right, what are we moving on to?
So I'm going to talk about like music news.
Cool.
So I've just been looking up a few things. Obviously, because I've not done a podcast in a wee while, there's quite a lot of news, but I don't want to talk about things that are not relevant to just now. So, looking online, you've seen that probably everyone's heard that Fop on Barrage Road is closed.
Yep.
Yeah. Along with a lot of HMV stores across like the UK. One being in Ayr and one being in Brayhead as well. And obviously loads in London and stuff like that. So that's such a big thing for...
I've got great memories. Used to live in Byers Road. I reckon there's been four or five record shops in Byers Road. And as an avid vinyl collector, I used to spend lots of times there.
It just shows, though, that the nobody wants to buy a physical copy. It's all streaming.
Everybody talks about the vinyl resurgence.
I don't actually think that's... I think vinyl nowadays is far too expensive.
Yeah, definitely.
If you want to buy a vinyl, you're looking at
20-25 quid.
30 quid.
I think a lot of that, in particular, the kind of FOP is meant to be this kind of wee independent cool store.
Yeah.
Kind of counterculture. You can see it in the collection of their books and everything.
Yeah. As much as it is HMV own it.
Yeah, a lot of people will probably be still surprised by that.
Yeah, I was surprised at that when I found out. I thought it was a kind of...
kind of independent.
Yeah,
but
totally.
A wee independent store can't really exist in Byers Road because the rates on Byers Road are pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, as a kind of personal thing, because I live quite close to Byers Road and have lived on Byers Road and have these rose-tinted memories of spending days on Byers Road just kind of wandering around kind of interesting shops and stuff. And I think it's a real shame in its demise because it's really turning into a line of coffee shops.
Yeah. And we were there not long ago.
Which?
In Byers Road. The Fop.
I go quite often. It's across the road from my bank, so anytime anybody pays me by cheque, I usually go and then spend the money that I've put in.
Oh, well. I mean, at least you're buying something new.
I don't know. Like, my memories are of Summerfield and Safeway, and it's now been replaced by Waitrose, and then there's a Marks and Spencer's halfway along.
Mm-hmm.
Byers Road, like obviously, it is the West End and it is the shopping street for downhill.
It's just vape shops and
It's really
sunbeds.
I think it's lost its character, and it's really sad. I suppose it's the way things
it's
are.
It's just the way.
Ayr's much worse.
I study in Ayr, but I don't see much of the place.
I grew up going to Ayr.
Yeah.
Every Saturday.
So that will probably quite a shock to you then.
The arse is entirely full out of it. So their big department store, Hurston's, has announced it's shutting. And that's a real kind of...
What one?
It's like House of Fraser. No. It's like House of Fraser. It's quite near the station.
Is it where the TK Maxx is?
I don't know. I know Old Ayr, not New Ayr. Right, I don't know where TK Maxx is. Oh, is it? It's in the Ayr Central bit.
So like... Say my
near the station.
You just drive straight on and get to a roundabout, and there's like a TK Maxx, and I think there's might be another couple of shops.
Oh, that used to be Matalan, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's walking distance from there, but it's on the actual high street, and it's a classic kind of department store, you know, like
Like John Lewis or something. Oh, right.
Like, there's an escalator in a... Like House of Fraser.
Yeah.
And you kind of go into all the different bits, and there's like a
wee stores unit. Within stores.
Aye. And it's a real shame, but I mean, it surprises me it's been open this long.
The internet is ruining the world.
Yeah. And we buy everything on the internet and then complain about that.
Which is a lot easier. I mean, I prefer to buy on the internet.
So how do you... this is obviously way off piste for music, but how do you save the town centre? Do we need to save the town centre? I think Ayr's ridiculous because Ayr's got a very, very thriving college and a very, very thriving university. Yeah. And I think they should just... I don't know. Give
To be fair, though, I go to university in Ayr... And all I see is the four walls of the university. I drive but
that's,
there and
that's
I leave.
Because there's nothing dragging you into the town centre.
Yeah.
Whereas if there was like some really, really cool vintage shop or some really, really cool music shop or a vinyl shop that catered to the students, you can go up and down the high street in Ayr. And I don't think there's a lot of evidence that Ayr has a high student population. So I don't know how you solve that.
Most of the people are commuting. Most of the people.
Oh, I know they are, but the high street doesn't seem to capture them in any way.
Mm-hmm. You're right. It's very much a opportunity that seems to be missed.
I don't know whether
you should go down and have a word with them, Neil.
I could. The South Esher Council are quite Tory based. They're not my favourite. I'm all about East Ayrshire. I don't know how to. I can do the east with my hands. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do an S. I'm not street enough. It's maybe the wrong way around.
Yeah,
no,
that's a Z.
Great radio. Anyway. So that went a wee bit off piste.
Right,
yeah, it's a real
on.
Shame.
So next piece of news, well, maybe not news, but just an event that happened recently in Glasgow was Celtic Connections.
I normally have loads to do with Celtic Connections, but for some reason this year.
Nothing.
So it's
a folk roots and world music festival that's held every year at the start of the year. This year it was the 17th of January till the 3rd of February, so it's just finished. And I had a wee look online to see like what kind of artists were playing and stuff. I never actually personally went to any of the gigs for Celtic Connections. I think I maybe went to a couple last year, but I didn't do anything this year, just been too busy. But see the amount of artists that are listed for performing, it's unbelievable.
Oh, it's a great thing.
There's so many.
It seems to catch me by surprise every year for some reason. I'm kind of... January's that way where I'm kind of focused on other things. I kind of don't get involved. Every now and again I get asked to work at it or play at it or whatever, and then I'll get involved. But I don't interact with it as much as I probably should.
I think it's maybe... It's very much... It's a very popular festival. You hear of people coming to... I remember I used to go to uni and... I used to go to a uni called UHI, University of the Highlands and Islands.
Sounds like a disease.
Yeah, I've said that before. And it's based up in the Highlands and Islands, so all up there I had to travel every now and then to go to lectures, but it was mostly online. And all of the people that actually stayed up in the Highlands and Islands... always made a point of coming down to Glasgow for Celtic Connections and either staying for the full thing to go to as many gigs as possible or coming down just for maybe one or two gigs or whatever. So I don't know, that's the only thing I've heard of people coming, but I think that a lot of people come to Glasgow for that.
It's more trad and folk focused, yeah. Which obviously is
would explain that.
More popular where the UTI is.
Don't speak about my like so yeah, so that happened. Obviously Neil had mentioned about Anton and the Colts gig.
Yeah.
Which I went along to, which I thought was great. I loved it.
It's a lot of fun.
I love Anton's stuff.
It's really busy.
His album No End of the Line. Yeah,
I think
No
that's
End of the Line.
Called,
I don't know if it's
right.
End of the Line or No End of the
No
Line.
End of the Line.
No End of the Line is available on Spotify and all that kind of stuff, and it's really good.
And physically?
And physical copy is also available if you want to put a CD in your car.
For sale and fop. Oh no, it's not now.
Oh, that's such a shame. But yeah, so I listed that as a wee bit of news. A recent event that happened was Tom and the Brass Holes gig.
Yeah, looked amazing.
Tom McGuire and the Brass Holes.
That was part of Celtic Connections, I think.
Oh, was it? Oh, right, okay. I wasn't sure.
Maybe it wasn't, now that you're saying that. I'm pretty sure it was. Anyway. Might have been.
So, I didn't go along to that, did you?
I saw lots and lots of videos. I was busy. Yeah. I was working that night.
Yeah. So, we're not very good at actually contributing to the music industry in Glasgow, but we know what's happening.
Yeah.
So, I've seen lots of videos of that. Looked great. I just listed here Cara Rose.
You saw her video?
Released a new video, which is really, really cool.
It's really atmospheric. I love what they've done with the big piano and all the lamps.
It sounds really cool.
It's one of those ideas you're like, I should have done that. But yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
I think it's in the Mitchell Library.
It is, I think it is, yeah.
I don't know where that big piano is in the Mitchell Library.
We spoke about there being a piano in the Mitchell Library as
There's piano rooms. We've talked about doing videos in there and everything, but somebody's obviously got there first, so that's... The Mitchell Library is now dead to me, so yeah.
Until I ask you next week to come and come and record me playing something.
Yeah.
Well.
They did it better than we would have done it.
Inspiration, eh? Anyway. But yeah, I think it's great. I love Cara's voice. And she seems to be playing a lot in Glasgow just now.
Yeah.
To check it out.
Looking
She's
forward
really
to
good.
The stuff coming out. It'll be stupendous.
Yeah. South by Southwest is coming up, and Neil went last year.
I did. So wonderful. Everybody should go
all
the time.
Feeling a bit sad about not going this year.
I could have went this year. I thought about it for a wee while, but it wouldn't have been a particularly mature spending.
Yeah, no, totally.
It wasn't very adult to have to go. I think I'll go next year.
I would love to go, because I think it would be so up my street in terms of like, the country thing and stuff like that.
I kind of feel like we're going to see the Teskey Brothers on Saturday at King Tut's. There's a crowd of us going. And that's a band that I discovered, or was discovered for me, I can't remember, at South by Southwest. So I feel like it tops up your new band bucket for like the year.
Because to be fair, the Teskey Brothers, the event page for Saturday isn't like, it isn't jumping up on my timeline or anything like that. I wouldn't have known about them until you had told me. So it's really helpful that as much as you had to travel to the States, you've come back. And
I'll
you introduced me to a few artists, right?
I don't know what ones.
Courtney Marie Andrews, you seen her?
Yeah, I already knew her.
You talk about bands all the time that you forget their names, but you've which isn't been helpful.
Yeah.
But
yeah. It's wonderful. I think there's probably solutions closer to home.
Yeah.
You've got Eurosonic and Midrum, is that what you call it? Can't remember. Anyway, there's things in Europe, and then you've got like the kind of Tenement Trail equivalents, but in like Manchester and Camden and Liverpool. I think it kind of reminded me the importance of getting outside of the central belt. But they have better barbecue, so
and they also obviously festivals closer to home also have this, but they have a lot for more creative industries rather than music.
Oh yeah, there's a film festival, there's a comedy festival, there's a technology festival. So there's some Scottish bands going over. I have not written down who is all going over. I'm pretty sure Ninth Wave are going over, Lucia's going over, the Dunts are going over. Is that everybody? I think Kapil Seshasi, who does kind of atmospheric-y stuff.
Cool.
I did sound from a couple of times way back when.
So is he playing instruments or?
I think it's guitar plus things. So yeah, there's lots of Glasgow bands going. Father Son are going, St. Phoenix, I think, Rascalton, Paws, Ninth Wave, The Dunts, Lucia. I don't think I've missed anybody, but if I have, massive apologies. But yeah, I think there's probably more Glasgow bands going this year than there was last year. Lucia went over last year. And Hamish also manages the Ninth Wave, I think. So he's obviously thought that that it was worthwhile. So he's taken more bands over. So it's actually a pretty solid lineup coming from Glasgow, and they're kind of they're match fit. They've all been playing live loads, so they're going to go and tear the place apart.
Cool.
But yeah, everybody should go at least once in their life. What's next?
Well, I don't know if you want to talk about this.
Oh, I love talking about this.
Do you?
Aye.
Okay, so a lot of you have probably noticed, it's been going on for years, but recently a documentary came out on BBC iPlayer about the R. Kelly scandal. And I just think that it's very much something that I want to talk about. I also read in the news that this week his Australian tour has been called off.
I think
which I'm like, why the hell was it not called off before?
What, in the mid-90s?
Yes, it should have been, like...
The fascinating thing is the record industry knew about it before we knew who R. Kelly was.
The biggest feminists in the world have still been listening to Ignition, even though they know that he's been up to what he's been up to.
I've just got these images of Jermaine Greer rocking out to R. Kelly.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But you know what, though? I was actually discussing this the other day. It's very interesting. I know. I probably know more about the whole, like, the charges against him now rather than earlier on. But if Ignition comes on the radio, I'm still going to be like, oh, I love this song. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's that kind of...
So you have to try and separate the two. There's so many issues here, right? One of the issues is that nothing has ever been proven in a court of law. Now, granted,
well,
the
video.
The what do you say? But we don't know it's him, right?
Are you
okay? No, that's why the judicial system exists. Now, it's my opinion, and it's most people's opinion.
That
it's
fairly
obvious that he's clearly getting up to something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a lot of outer court payments, and he seems to be so rich that he's untouchable. There's another documentary, there's an American documentary, I forget what channel it's on.
It's like a six-parter or something?
It's like 6 hours.
And I can't wait to watch it.
No, but it comes to no conclusions whatsoever, because there's so little is actually...
it's all just
it's all hearsay. It's all like lots of parents whose wains have been stolen by R. Kelly, and they try and get them back, and they get to the wains, and the wains are like, no, I want to stay here. So...
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly... Well, it's my opinion that he's dodgy, right?
Yeah.
But the opinion isn't really based on fact.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like, provable in-court fact. It was the same thing with Michael Jackson. What age were you when Michael Jackson died?
10
years?
Did he die in 2008?
Sounds about right. Probably about 10 years. So I don't know how much you remember.
I remember I was about 12 or 13. I remember being... I was still dancing.
So it was very much the same with Michael Jackson, where you found yourself saying, well, there's no smoke without fire, but you can't actually do somebody for that.
You can't detect smoke. You can't detect fire without smoke.
Yeah. and Michael Jackson was the same. You're pretty sure that there was some kind of substance to it. But it was just...
But it didn't stop the female demographic enjoying his tunes.
No, definitely not.
Not just female, sorry.
I grew up... Michael Jackson, I can't describe how big Michael Jackson was in the mid-80s.
In another podcast, we discussed this, and you said how Michael Jackson, don't get me, this might be wrong, Michael Jackson's the only... did you use the word kid in his
life? Paedophile, he's dead.
Paedophile, I know, but just... that could get a 12-year-old boy to hold his crotch.
Yeah, we were all dancing about grabbing our crotches. And yeah, so should Michael Jackson have been a paedophile, he managed to get every 12-year-old on the planet trying to moonwalk and grabbing their crotch. But yeah, Michael Jackson was as big as anybody ever.
Yeah.
You could argue the most famous of all time.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so.
And he seemed to be either untouchable, or it was some sort of witch hunt, or... He had a very, very unhealthy relationship with children. R. Kelly possibly has a very, very...
Unhealthy relationship.
Well, he
No, I know.
We do know that he liked to have them over for sleepovers and stuff.
Oh, that makes me feel
it's a great BBC documentary, and you kind of watch it and go, right, but what did he actually do? Mm-hmm. Other than being an adult that kind of thought that it was a good idea for 8-year-olds to have mm-hmm. sleepovers at his house.
Yeah.
I don't know. And with R. Kelly, there's that kind of, like, oh, 17-year-old girl with 45-year-old man repeatedly. You're like, uh-huh. It's dodgy, but...
It's dodgy, but things happen like this.
But it's... Do you know what I mean? I think at some point they will get together enough evidence. It was about the same with Bill Cosby. The American system's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Where you've got different things going on in different states and statutes of limitations and...
Yeah.
And yeah. huge complications, and everybody was pretty much sure that Bill Cosby was a dodgy, horrible person. But until you work out
they hadn't proved it.
Until you work out how to get it through the courts, you have to give people benefit of the doubt. So mm-hmm. I would imagine that at some point R. Kelly's going to get done. But it's good that the music industry is kind of reacting by.
Yeah, Spotify have actually launched a new thing because of this. That you can now mute certain artists.
Right, but Spotify's first reaction was that they said, well, we won't put them in any playlists that we generate. And it's like, all right, cool, so you're still happy to make money out of
well,
them.
Well, no, what it is, it's given the people that are using Spotify the choice to mute R. Kelly. Or mute Michael Jackson if they feel the same way. Or mute...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gary Glitter.
Yeah. Or I don't know who else could you hate.
Here's the other way of looking at it. Now, I've never... none of these artists are... I've enjoyed their music and there's a kind of nostalgia to Michael Jackson because it's probably one of the first albums that... Bad is probably one of the first albums that I really remember as an album. But there's not... I don't have a huge connection to him. But I have connections to other artists and you kind of wonder if an artist... does something like that, something irredeemable. Like, if you grew up on Gary Glitter's music, right, and loved Gary Glitter's music, and that was your thing when you mm-hmm. were a teenager, what happens when he is outed as second only to Jimmy Savile as a big, horrible pedo, right? Do you still listen to that music? Is that music dead to you? Are you able to detach the music from the person?
Well, that's interesting. I think that it would depend on the person. Because my lecturer was actually telling me something the other day. I can't even remember who it was, but he said that he's a very big vinyl collector. He likes all the physical vinyls and stuff like that, a bit like yourself. And he found out something about an artist and actually flung out all the records. Not flung them out, took them to a charity shop.
I mean, so, it's difficult. David Bowie's had sex with girls in their early teens.
Prince had a big thing with that as well, right?
Do you know, I actually struggle to name an artist from the 70s that hasn't had dodgy sex with girls in their early teens. David Bowie's documented. Led Zeppelin, heavily documented. Jimmy Page, I'm amazed that it's not talked about more. Jimmy mm-hmm. Page was very fond of a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, and this is all documented. That's what Almost Famous is about. She was a lot younger than Kate Hudson. Bill Wyman from the Rolling Stones married, is it Maggie Smith? Is that her name? She was...
Still happening now.
No, my point is that these artists are still revered.
Yeah, no.
Whether you use the argument of it being a different time, I think there's definitely a kind of blinkered view of, well, you're not taking Led Zeppelin away from me.
Yeah, totally. You could go on and on. You could do a full podcast on this. I just wanted to mention it because I think it is quite a big...
Be interesting deal. To see what happens.
Yeah, be interesting.
He's the latest in the line of dodgy people who create things.
And I also... another documentary that was on Netflix, which I think is really interesting, kind of opens everyone's eyes up to how you can't always believe in what is marketed to you.
The Bros documentary?
That and the Fire Festival. The Fire,
it was amazing.
It's awesome. It's so good. It's unbelievable, some of the things that these...
As someone who's of an age that they don't quite get Instagram, and I'm
you're such a technophobe with Instagram.
Yeah, but I'm of an age. There's a kind of marketing thing goes on nowadays where people want more followers and more likes, and they're not quite sure what it is that they're reaching for, other than to make sure that they're kind of at the top of this
list
popularity contest.
Yeah.
So everything becomes a popularity contest, but nobody's quite sure what the prize is. So the Fire documentary was a wee bit like me sitting on a hill watching all those folk as some sort of an observer. It was a documentary on Instagram world for me, where I got to look in that window. Yeah. My other window to that...
It just also showed you how unauthentic things can be, like... promised things, and if you're promised things for your money, you believe it. Like if you were buying a product and it was like, oh, does this, does that, and reviews on it, blah, 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 you'd be like, great, that seems like it's going to be worth my money. For example, a fucking Hoover. I'll buy that Hoover, and then it's shite. Like, these things happen, but you don't think it's going to happen if you spend thousands and thousands of pounds to go away on a desert island.
But there's so many...
But see, even being from Clydebank, see if I got to that place, fair enough, it was a bit of a shithole, right, compared to what they promised. I'd have stayed if there was enough babies.
You would have pulled out the MD 2020 and just had a party round the tent, aye.
I totally would have.
No, I mean, I think that crossed my mind. I think the most important message is, I think it's a lot harder to put on a music festival than everybody thinks it is.
Yeah.
And a couple of years back, there was so many music festivals failing. Like, the arse was falling out of music festivals left, right and centre.
I love what you say. The arse was falling
out, I think. Yeah, Bestival and Why Not and Don't Quote Me in These. But yeah, but 2016, there was about 8 large-scale festivals in the UK just fell to bits.
Mm-hmm.
And there was various court cases going on, and you get that kind of, what are you promised for your ticket? What's your legal comeback? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you go to a festival and the massive headliner pulls out, are you entitled to your money back? You have question marks over how people are getting paid who are working at that festival.
Yeah.
There's been a few incidents where folk have turned up at the festival and they said it's been cancelled. And you're like, what do you mean? I'm like working here for 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're in a 0-hour contract. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. There's ways to go around everything.
So there's that element. There's stuff in the news at the moment about the same thing happening at the Edinburgh Festival, not necessarily entirely music based, but there's a lot of 0-hour contracts and folk not getting paid. Yeah,
because the people have not got a leg to stand on. Then they're smart with that. Like, give them no contract or give them a 0-hour contract, and then if all fails.
But
we don't
on the other side, right, and this is the arsehole position, I've been to some amazing festivals which wouldn't have taken place if workers' rights were required in order to employ folk at it. You wouldn't have a bar. If folk had to have their legal breaks,
mm-hmm.
then you wouldn't have had a bar at the festival and therefore no festival. So we have to kind of work out how we balance the world of human rights mm-hmm. with how to put on a successful festival. Mm-hmm. And the Fire documentary was hilarious because the people who were going to that festival, don't want to generalise, but they were very much not higher the people...
higher class of people.
Not a higher class of people. They were the type of people who haven't been camping. Wanted
villas.
Yeah.
And
the type of people who don't know how to ferment seawater to make spirit. Mm-hmm. and crowd around a campfire. Drinking prison wine.
Shave their legs with a bottle of water.
So there was a real enjoyment in watching.
It was funny. They were suffering. Like, oh, my dad's giving me all this money to the festival. And
Schadenfreude. It's ultimate Schadenfreude.
It's so funny. But anyway, watch it. we'll not go on for much longer about this. So our topic, well, as much as we're probably majority of the way through our podcast, but what we wanted to talk about today was comedian musicians and our favourites, stuff like that. So recently...
Comedy music.
Comedy music, yeah. So I was always aware of, like, Billy Connolly and all this kind of stuff, and, like, musicians using comedy and stuff like that. But a couple of weeks ago, me and Alex watched Tim Minchin, and I cannot believe it. I think it's the best thing ever.
It's changed your life.
It's changed my life. He's hilarious. He's honestly, like... So we ended up getting tickets to go and see him at the end of the year, which is going to be great. He's an absolute genius. Absolute genius. So it's opened my eyes to this world of... Obviously, I knew about Jack Black and stuff. Like, Ricky Gervais did a lot of stuff. Russell Brand knew all about that. Billy Connolly. But looking at all these different things, I had no clue Steve Martin used to be a... Music,
very much so. Yeah. He's a very good banjo player.
Yeah, so just found that out today.
In fact, that was the Blues Brothers' first tour, was supporting Steve Martin.
Really?
And I think he got quite frustrated because, imagine...
The Blues Brothers would be
Blues
bigger.
Brothers open for you, and then you have to do
an hour and a half
of stand-up that's got a wee banjo bit in it. That was quite a weird ticket.
But you know what's quite interesting about Steve Martin as well? Obviously, I just read all this kind of stuff online. He went on to do, obviously, acting and loads of films and all that kind of stuff. But he now plays bluegrass music, and I really want to check that out. I'm going to do that.
He's done it for ages.
Do you know about it?
Not any more than I've always kind of known Steve Martin played banjo.
Right, okay.
And I'm aware that he crops up in bluegrass. The other folk that do it, Adrian Edmondson plays in a kind of folk punk band. I don't know if you know who Adrian Edmondson is. Adrian Edmondson is married to Jennifer Saunders, and was in The Young Ones, which was the sitcom of alternative comedy, and then he was in Bottom. He's not on telly that much these days, but he has... I don't think his stuff's funny, but he has a music career on the side. Who else? The man from The Hangover that's the dentist. I forget his name. He's a banjo player as well.
I see. The one that gets a big tattoo in his
proper
face.
Proper bluegrass banjo player. And successful.
Really? Yep. So it's not even comedy? It's just
I don't
musician.
Think so. I think he's just a proper... he has two careers. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think who else does that.
Hugh Laurie's got a...
Hugh Laurie, yeah.
He's got a degree. Probably does have a degree, but he has a music career.
He's got a really good...
I crush on him so much.
Have you seen all his blues piano playing?
Yeah, and I've watched House from start to finish. Cried, laughed, and I fell in love with Hugh Laurie or Dr. House. What was his first name again?
I can't remember.
It's been years since
I watched it.
They just call him House.
Oh, I can't remember his first name. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I have a kind of mixed feelings towards comedy because I think the kind of highest profile music comedian in the 80s was Victoria Wood. And while I like her comedy stuff, I always find the music stuff a bit cringy. I have this thing against musicals. There's something about...
Even though he loves Queen.
Yeah, but there's something about the cart before the horse songwriting of starting with the joke or the story and then kind of fitting the music around it that just grates against me. And I've never quite worked out what it is. And Victoria Wood had that quality to her comedy songs.
Yeah.
So I was quite against Flight of the Conchords. It took me a wee while. People kept on telling me to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they came out on Sub Pop Early Doors, and it was a label I followed, and everybody's like, oh, you have to check out Flight of the Conchords, and I'm like, and they're like, it's like comedy music, and I'm like, oh no, that sounds absolutely
awful. It took me ages to
accept it. So I think sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also a genre, so saying that you like comedy music is a bit like saying that you like comedy. You don't like have somebody say, oh, I love comedy. And you're like, excellent, there's a stand-up comedian. Let's go and see him. You'll love him because you like comedy.
It's a genre,
so you've got kind of different things going on and you have to kind of remind yourself of that.
Yeah, because like there is a few, like Jack Black. I love Jack Black. I love like School of Rock and stuff like that. That was probably what I was, when my time was out when I was younger. But you, Tenacious D.
Tenacious D is just amazing.
So you introduced that to me. I think it's funny. I mean, there's some of it that you're just like. I've got this weird thing with comedy, right?
But there's a lot of the references that you won't necessarily get because it's very much based on kind of almost like 80s metal or kind of American rock.
Yeah.
So like making jokes about Dio and stuff like that, I don't know that you really...
I wouldn't get it.
So that's maybe not really necessarily aimed at you. Then you could also look from the aspect of musicians that have comedy songs. There is... I'm trying to think of all my favourite bands. There's a couple of funny pair of jam songs. A lot of
country music's really funny.
Yeah, definitely. I played that one for you from the Wild Hearts.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Clam Abuse is the name of the band.
Yeah. What's the one that Lynch says...
it's all about unlucky in love.
The male
It should be clear that male genitalia has because all our lovers have died. That's what the first 12 verses are about.
I've never had much.
It should be now clear that male genitalia has never done nothing for me. But now I'm surviving because I'm muff diving. I'd like y'all to meet Anne-Marie. It's just, and it's an entire country song that only exists for that line.
But can I just also point out that you could listen to that song and have no clue that it's comedy until Neil goes, listen to that bit again. I'm like, I don't know what they're saying. And then he spells out to me what the lyric is, and it's unbelievable. But that could be playing at, like, a really serious event or... do you know what I mean?
I honestly think if I ever do a country set, it would have to be in there.
Yeah, and you would have, but it's really clever. It's really, really funny.
And then the other one that I was thinking of, right, and I don't know whether this counts as comedy.
Mm-hmm.
There was a band in the 90s called Carrie, right? C-A-R-R-I-E. I presume named after the 70s horror film. And, I saw them at Tea in the Park, but it was one of those early doors in the day, like half noon.
Yeah.
And there was about 8 folk in the audience, and they were all like me, like 15, 16. And the singer said, this next song, I'm sure everyone can relate, it's when your girlfriend wears a dress and fucks you in the ass with a dildo, right? It was like pre-internet. So most of the audience weren't aware that those type of things happened. And there's this song called Molly, about Molly. Molly Hits Like a Boy, and it's kind of the 90s version of Lola by the Kinks, and it's all about wearing suspenders and everything. I just remember vividly, it's one of my favourite performances ever, as the 8 folk or whatever in this audience just stood and went, eh? What?
Yeah.
I'll play it for you sometime, but it's like full of like kind of Beach Boys choruses. Ooh, ba, 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 ooh. About somebody getting
my favourite thing about I was listening to a wee bit of Margaret Cho.
Don't know who that is.
So she's like a female musician, comedian, and similar to Tim Minchin is like when they're singing their songs, it's like they're singing this really passionate song to like these really lovely chord progressions with like, and even Tim Minchin plays with a blooming orchestra. Like it's like so, like it sounds so professional, and it all is, all the songwriting is unbelievable. But they're singing about, like he's got a song about it's one of my favourites, Inflatable You, which is basically about
a blow up doll
right, that he's in love with, and it's this. And he introduces it as a love song. He'll be like, so this is a love song. And then he just goes on to play this hilarious song, but it's over such a sweet and loving melody that it's so funny. I think it's really, really funny. I love it.
So when are you going to see him?
It's November, I believe. I can't remember what exactly the date is, but it's November, so a wee while away.
So are you going to write any of your own comedy songs?
Well, I tried to.
I think you sent me one and then deleted the message.
No, I didn't.
It's not on my... It was there last night and I was falling asleep and I thought, I'll listen to that in the morning.
I didn't delete the message, it's just right there. So yeah, I did write a wee kind of song last night. It's probably not like the most funny thing ever, but I think it's quite clever. And it's just to poke fun a wee bit about the fact that we've not been...
I think it could be quite a good kind of writing exercise.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the time when you're writing, you avoid...
It's on our group chat.
Ah, that's why I thought you deleted it. I thought, oh, that must have been good.
It's our...
I've found it. There we go.
It's on the...
I'll have a listen later.
Yeah. I could maybe record it for the end of the podcast, but we'll see what Neil thinks about
think,
it first.
I think it could be quite a good writing experiment. I think when you're songwriting, I think sometimes you have to... You try to avoid cheese and you try to avoid funny lines. So you're like, oh, can't do that. That would be hilarious. That's a really funny line. But no, this is a serious song. So there's, you kind of surf a wave of what kind of language you're using.
There's a lot of,
I like Dirty Diamond songs.
Yeah, that's what I was
Alex's
about to
songs
say.
Because he doesn't care, right? So he takes the cheesiest sexual lines. So does Mick Jagger, I suppose. And there's a real liberation in being able to write like that and say, oh, fire that in, that's dead cheesy. Mm-hmm.
Because of the
genre. Whereas if you're being a wee bit more serious.
Instead of being like, oh, the wind is...
Yeah, it burdens you. You're burdened by trying to decide how you use language.
I think the funnest thing to do by writing a song is pick a really cool concept, right? So pick a really cool concept, have that in the chorus, right? And then have loads of different things that are surrounded by that concept. Like, I don't know. Loads of different things. Like, say you were talking about, for instance, Tim mentioned talking about his blow-up doll. So all things associated with a blow-up doll and why they would be better than a real woman or why they wouldn't be better. Like, and then just, like, make wee poemy rhymes. And I think it's just so funny. I think it's, as you said, a really cool writing exercise.
I think even if you weren't planning on doing it in comedy, I think about the art of songwriting quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because I quite like to co-write, but I don't necessarily like to write.
There's no right way to do it, though. Like, you get to... I remember I went to this songwriting workshop when I was at a previous uni that I'm at just now. And
which one?
The UHI. It's all cleared up now. Fortunately. And we had this, like, kind of workshop, and they told us to keep the chorus, like, all simple, and then all this kind of stuff and do this, and there was all these rules to the songwriting, and I kind of thought to myself, I was like, I don't think there should be any rules. I think that it's all quite open to everybody's
I think there's, it depends whether you call it a rule or not. I think if you're like, oh, what chord can we use in the bridge, then you can find out what chord you haven't used in the key or stuff like that. So it kind of, not so much rules, but you can use rules to give you, to answer something, answer the question.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I'm jealous of comedy song writers.
Yes, I am so much.
They don't have to avoid being funny.
Yeah, so like they'll have these like really shit lyrics, but they can just take the absolute piss out themselves.
Yeah.
Like, they might not even rhyme in some areas or and things like that, so like it's... They've got less of a...
burden.
Yeah, less of a burden, less of a expectation from... Well, obviously, you've got expectations for them to be funny, but in terms of, like, their musical abilities and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
they're able to use their musical abilities over comedy songs, which I think in... Yeah, you don't have to take them too seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that prevents me songwriting quite often. Anyway, will we wrap it up?
Yeah, I thought I really enjoyed this. Our first episode in a wee while, first episode back in 2019.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in two
soonish.
Weeks. Soonish, 2 weeks.
So at some point. At some point. We'll probably relaunch it in 2 months.
remember and get in touch if you'd like to come on the podcast or if you have any ideas of what you'd like us to talk about. And yeah, we will see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.